Hello and welcome. 1 year after what was surely one of the boldest economic policy moves in modern Indian history, we look back to assess it on its merit. This is not easy to do since it's still very much a politically salient issue. The opposition has been highlighting the economic disruption, the loss of lives and livelihood, and the fact that almost all the currency had to be reprinted and recirculated to emphasize the futility of the move. The BJP has been highlighting increased tax collections and a greater flow of deposits into the banking system on the economic side, and its resounding win in the UP polls on the political side is proof that demonetization was a success. Well, the only consensus on demonetization is the boldness of the move. But then, as a former BJP leader, Arun Shuri, said, suicide is also a very bold move. So 1 year on, we're asking, was demonetization worth it? On the show tonight, Surjit Bhalla, member of the Prime Minister's Economic Advisory Council, also the economist Ritika Khera, Gurcharan Das, author and one of India's best-known commentators on economic policy issues. From the BJP, we have Mr. Gopal Krishna Garhwal, Pawan Khera of the Congress, Mahua Moitra of the TMC, Amy Kasman, the South Asia Bureau Chief of the Financial Times, and Pramod Saxena, founder and MD of Oxygen, a company that offers online payment services through a digital wallet. And I want to start with our economists. It's been a year. It is now report card day. Is the Indian economy better off or worse off due to demonetization?
Yeah, I want to emphasize this is exactly as you asked, a question of empirics, not of ideology. And on the empirics, as I hope will come out in the discussion, it is certainly better off. Barely been a year since it got started.
The PM said 50 days.
Sorry?
The PM said 50 days.
Okay. Look, short term, in such a bold move, what did you say? That it was one of the boldest moves ever taken by any politician in any country at any time.
And we're not debating that, sir.
And clearly, 50 days is too short a time, but we can get into those details. All I'm saying is this was a mega move, as you described it, and I think the effects of it are also mega, also very, very positive. Let's look at what you started off with and what basically the opposition, I'm not so sure whether it's the economic opposition, but clearly the political opposition says that, listen, all the money got returned into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it was a failure.
Well, the point was to eradicate
that money.
And
that's precisely what I'm saying. That was not the point.
Well, that's not what the PM said.
Okay. Look, we can either discuss what the PM said and then we can do it. PM also said several other things in terms of employment, in terms of growth, in terms of tax compliance, in terms of reduction in corruption. So we can't just take one thing that the PM said and say, oh, that's why it was a failure. I want to concentrate, as I said, on the empirics, not the ideology, from wherever it comes. I stated as early as November 15th, a week after the demonetization announcement, and you can hold me to what I stated then and what I'm stating now, is that collection of money coming back into the system was a completely false notion of whether the demonetization will be a success or not, as early as November 15th. Indian Express, and the way to assess it, because we didn't know what was happen, was tax compliance, as well as, if you will, election reforms in terms of financing of elections.
So tax compliance.
And the data is very, very strong on tax compliance, and we can discuss and debate that. But you know, it's a very silly debate to say, oh, 15.6 trillion crores was what was demonetized, all of it came back, that's why it's a failure.
Ritika, let me ask the question again. We're not debating whether it was a bold move, Mr. Bhalla, that we've all agreed on.
Right.
We're debating, has the economy done better or worse? Empirically, please respond.
Right. So the counterfactual, we don't know. But if you look at the demonetization policy in principle, I think it was a bad policy and the implementation was much worse. Often people say that it was actually a good idea, but it was implemented badly. But I think both the idea and the implementation were bad. Let me just explain. The black economy is a flow, it's not a stock. And if you demonetize notes, you're at best going to get at the stock. As it happens, we didn't get at the stock either. Maybe there wasn't any stock. Or maybe there was a stock of black cash, but then it's all come back, which possibly means that this was a big money laundering scheme, as also Mr. Arun Shuri has said. So we don't know what the counterfactual is. What we do know is that the economy has slowed down a little bit. More than that, I would say that the impact on the ground on people doesn't seem to be very good. Whatever data is available is suggesting slowdown, job losses, especially in the informal sector. And I would say one big damage to the economy is also in terms of sentiment. A lot of what happens to economic growth depends on expectations. Are we expecting the Indian economy to do well? And then that drives investor sentiment. So that uncertainty which has come after demonetization, I think that's had a bad impact as well. People are a bit afraid to invest. Because they don't know what's coming next or, you know, what might happen. So I certainly think bad policy, bad implementation, it was like burning down the house to catch a rat. And in fact, I think even that rat gave us a slip.
Okay, so the rat gave us a slip. Pavan, come in here. The RBI says 99% of the money is back in the system. Mr. Bhalla says that wasn't the point in the first place. That doesn't prove anything. But just yesterday, speaking in Kangra and Himachal, the PM has pointed out that the BJP is going to celebrate this as an anti-black money day. The opposition, the Congress is going to celebrate this as a black day. He says he's fighting corruption. That's why you're doing this.
Sara, it was a bold move, no doubt about that. Just as dropping the bomb on Hiroshima was a very bold move, except that it achieved something, at least the World War ended. What has ended now? They kept changing the goalposts. And again, Mr. Bhalla again changes the goalposts. The Prime Minister, the Finance Minister, everybody who spoke on behalf of the BJP kept saying this is to put an end to black money. What was the context? The context was A, black money, B, increase the tax base, C, digitization. I don't know if there was anything else, but this was the basic, these three. Now, let's deal with each one of them. The tax, let's come to the tax. Before Mr. Modi came, there were 30 million odd taxpayers. Now, the increase is 0.54 million. Impressive. What is the average income of those, the newcomers under the tax bracket? 2.7 lakhs. Where is the big fish? Where have you caught the big fish? So these questions will be asked. You keep changing goalposts. They also said terrorism, Naxalism, everything will come to an end. Black money, fake money. Where is the fake money? How much black money? The parliamentary committee, they couldn't answer to. We have no answers. Rhetoric? Yes, we have a plenty. Coming from Mr. Bhalla, I'm glad he admitted that, okay, don't take what the Prime Minister said seriously. Well, you're right. We don't take what he says seriously. We don't see results. So we've stopped taking what he says seriously. We don't know what he does, actually.
Mr. Bhalla, where are the big fish, he's asking? Also, we had that income disclosure scheme, right, that preceded demonetization. If you factor that into account, is there really a big difference? And are we going to just go back to hoarding black money because now there are new notes? Unless you're going to do demonetization every year?
Okay, look, last year, the gross tax revenue collected between April and September had a rate of growth of 17%. This year, it's 20%, if you will. Tax compliance, indeed, is preciously little about the newcomers coming in. It is about the people not paying as much tax as they should be. If you're collecting more tax from them, then it is unambiguously a better move. In the US, they collect information on income tax compliance from 2006 onwards. It's on their website. Basically, 82% of what the money should be collected, they actually collect. In India, that number is very close to 25%. This has nothing to do with new taxpayers, mind you. This has to do with existing taxpayers should be paying 100 rupees in taxes, and they're only paying 25. So therefore, as I come back to, the Prime Minister said various things, as any politician, as any leader says various things. You have picked on one, or the PM said 99%, and I'm saying the PM also said, so why don't you bring in an attack of black money? The increase in tax compliance is indeed an attack on black money. Okay. Therefore, let's concentrate on that.
Mr. Bhalla says, don't pick on what the PM says.
No, please, Sarah. I said, PM said several things.
No, I said, do not take on one thing
that the PM said. That's what I said. So if you want to quote me, one thing the PM
even
said and
the
BJP official said, that this will increase, the money coming back will not be 100%. I agree, they said that. I disagreed at that time, I disagree now. But there are several other things. Like you yourself stated, the PM said that this is an attack on black money. That's what the story is
Sarah,
about.
Sarah, let's get this out of politics for a few minutes.
Yeah.
There'll be undoubted long-term advantages from this move. And these advantages will come over time. But frankly, if you look at the cost benefit of this whole exercise, I think this has to be a mistake. The previous government made many mistakes. Every government makes mistakes. This government, I think the second big mistake it made was loan waivers. But then the previous government also made that mistake. The reality here is that today we have an economic slowdown. And it is far more serious. In fact, I think Ritika was being generous. We should be today at 8%. And frankly, we elected Mr. Modi because we believed that he would give us the demographic dividend. And one of the reasons for the slowdown, there are other factors too, I think, is demonetization. And just a quick point, I do agree with one thing that Surjit has said, and that is that this 99% of the cash that's been returned is actually a good thing. The BJP should actually be taking credit for that. Because here is all this money that's come back, that's come into the system.
And it's been there for a year, they haven't loaned it out.
Well,
But
this money, a lot of this money was not in the system. Once it enters the system, then it can be used for giving loans to people.
But it's been there for a year. People have been too busy. The banks have been too busy to work on demonetization to actually give out loans.
Yes, but you know, again, I think let's not look at the short term.
The GDP growth, as Sir points out here, is down to 5.7. This is exactly what the former Prime Minister had predicted. The Congress and the opposition is saying that demonetization has disrupted India's growth cycle. Is it still worth it?
No, this program is We the People. Now, if you want to discuss demonetization, you should understand what the people of the country are thinking and saying. What happened? We had seen economic development through the 70 years before. What was the report? Global Wealth Report says...
So let's focus on the past year. It's been 1 year since demonetization. We are asking for a report card on this 1 year.
I have to speak. Let me speak, then you can counter-question me. 58% of our total wealth is concentrated to 1% of the population. 97% of our population was holding less than $10,000 of net worth. That was the situation the economic growth was. There was distributional problem. The question on demonetization has to be seen not in isolation. You see, when the Modi government came to power, the next day there are several 10-15 steps that have been taken for controlling corruption and black money.
So, the demonetization is a part. The demonetization is a part of those steps.
In isolation, if you see, there are several objectives of demonetization. There is a timeline and a focus where the Modi government wants to take the country towards. Without demonetization, the establishment of audit trail is one single benefit that has created an ecosystem for successful implementation of GST. Without the business transaction not going to the banking channel, you cannot establish the audit trail. Tax compliance, delivery mechanism, liquidity in the system. There are so many objectives that the demonetization has been able to successfully do it. And even when Mr. Gurcharan Das says that 99% has come into the banking channels, people have
been smart enough
to deposit their black money also into the banks. Simply depositing of black money.
So you admit that people have managed to fool the system.
That's a fact. There was black money.
So your government was not aware that this would happen? Indians are known for jugaad.
Now the audit trail will establish their black money. Simply depositing the black money in the banking
system.
If you
knew it was so easy for people to launder this, then why did you go ahead and such an exercise?
2,11,000 companies, now shell companies, have been deregistered. There are 40,000.
So you have just admitted that money was laundered. If the Prime Minister is saying that rich people have been hit, but you are saying that money was laundered, then who's been hit? Only the poor have been hit.
Then why are the poor voting for Modi?
That is a very good question.
There are 4 lakh directors of the shell companies.
That is a good question, but you are admitting that money was laundered.
Demonetization.
That means
has
black
a
money was not hit.
No, very seriously.
Black money continues in
one
the economy.
Very seriously, the money is in the system now. The person who has taken this money, which was black money, by depositing, he or she is in the system as legal money. They have to account for it in future years.
Sarah.
How many years?
And there is an audit trail.
Has demonetized.
What is the system of checking black money?
Why was it illegal? It was in the market circulating. The economic activity was happening.
It was illegal.
Illegal is when you don't pay taxes.
Wait. There is a difference between black money and black wealth. There is a huge difference between black money and black wealth. That black money was sustaining your economy, the so-called black money. Why do you call it black? Why do you call it illegal?
Then they decide that the black money is good for the economy.
How do you call it black, first of all? How can you call it black? The fact that it's come back to the bank is not black.
That's what the PM is saying.
You stop the economic activity of this country.
They celebrate black money. That's the corruption level of corruption.
Please don't. When you fail, you resort to rhetoric. First sign of failure.
No, I want to go across to Mawa. She's been waiting.
Okay, Mr. Bala, I'd like to point out one of the first shows I was with you. You chided everybody like children, telling them they shouldn't filibuster. May I remind you, I would really appreciate it if you didn't filibuster. The main question that you asked me is, why are the poor voting for Mr. Modi? The poor voted for Mr. Modi in 2014 because they felt that a change was needed in this country. In UP. Now, we have... I don't think it is very smart to decide on the efficacy of demonetization by just one election, because I think what Mr. Modi and the BJP played very well was exactly what you said, that this is going to stop three things. And I disagree completely. This cashless payments, digitization, tax were all brought in later. Okay, it's a mistake to assume that politicians and economists are two separate lots, and politicians speak only ideology, and economists are the only people of empirical evidence. We are also economists who happen to be politicians, and we also have our data with us. That's the first thing. The second thing is, very clearly, Mr. Modi set out three things. One was that black money. And here, the poor felt that the poor in this country, there's always been a class divide, and they felt that, look, we are suffering, but the rich are going to suffer more. Which is why the poor voted for Mr. Modi, because they felt that, I know we are standing in queue, the UP elections happened in March or in April, which was barely 6 months after, but the results hadn't come in of demonetization, how much money went in. So people didn't know. The second thing was fake money. I remember the Prime Minister's economic advisor, Mr. Vivek Debroy, saying 2,000 crores in fake money. RBI data puts out only 42 crores. An economic advisor can be off by a factor of 10, but to be off by a factor of 50. Third thing, they said terrorist incidents will come down. The number of terrorist incidents in the last 12 months has been higher than the year preceding demonetization. So, you know, we've also got data, and you didn't need for tax trails, for income tax verifications like the US did. The US didn't need to demonetize. They just needed to enforce existing tax codes to make sure that people who are supposed to pay taxes, pay taxes.
You know, I want to ask her a question. The reason why I thought, and I still feel that this was a mistake, was the pain that it brought to people. The biggest pain of all is to lose your job. And that has been my biggest concern, that in the informal economy, which operates on cash, people have lost their jobs. The question is, if you lose your job, why would you vote? And it's not one election, UP. Every single election, there was the Bombay municipal election, there were the Maharashtra elections, there were a number of by-elections after Orissa, that. Yeah. And in every election, BJP won. If people have lost their jobs, why are they voting for Mr. Modi?
Well, we have two people from UP.
People are not stupid. I mean, people, you know, if I've lost my job, I won't vote for the government, would I?
Okay, I'll tell you a question. The forbearance, I come from a rural constituency, and I will tell you that the forbearance of the Indian public surprises even me. There are people who have suffered under 10 years under a certain government, and when people go and tell them, we'll give you X and we'll give you Y, people still hope. So yes, there were 1.52 lakh jobs lost due to this move, and majority of which were lost between October and December. You had migrant labor, 50,000, that come back into different states, but they will wait to see if they can get employed. So I think it takes a year or to another 2 years for people to wake up to it. So I think we really have to see whether this wave continues. And I disagree when you say that they have won everything. They've lost a very crucial seat in Punjab that they had. They have lost the various student elections.
But mostly 80-90%
they have won. But when you're a ruling party and you
we have two people here from UP. Let's go across to Sheesh Khanji, who's a hardware factory owner from Aligarh. First and foremost, we met Sheesh Khanji about 6 months ago after demonetization, where he was having trouble with his business. Sheesh Khanji, aap pehle bataiye, 6 mahine pehle to aap keh rahe the aapke business mein problems ho rahi thi, magar aapke paas hope thi, jaise Maua keh rahi hai, you were hopeful. Ab situation kya hai?
Madam, ab situation ye aayi ki jo hope thi wo bhi khatam hoti nazar aa rahi hai. Aista aista kab aur bahut zyada down ho gaya, ab to band hone ki naubat aa gayi. यानी जो लोग काम करते थे, जो एम्प्लॉयज थे, होले होले करके, जैसे सर ने कहा कि जॉब छूट रही, मेरे यहाँ से भी जॉब छूटे. अभी 4 दिन पहले ये घटना हुई, जो मेरे यहाँ सालों से काम कर रहा था लड़का, उसके जॉब छूटा डिमोनेटाइजेशन के बाद से ही. अब वो क्राइम पर उतर आए, वो बच्चे के हाथ से मोबाइल छीन के भाग गया. और यानी जितने लोगों का काम जिनका छूटा है वो करेंगे क्या घर के लिए? तो ज्यादातर इस पर क्राइम बहुत.
शीश खान जी, अब तो नोट्स आ गए ना इकोनॉमी, तो वापस नोट्स आ गए, तो प्रॉब्लम क्या है? व्हाई कांट यू रीहायर और रीएम्प्लॉय दिस पीपल? जो वर्कर्स जो आपने फायर की थी वो वापस आ गए क्या?
नहीं आए, क्योंकि काम नहीं मिला ना. आगे जीएसटी ने आगे ब्लॉक कर दिया सब कुछ.
ओके, सो फर्स्ट डीमोनेटाइजेशन, देन जीएसटी,
देन जीएसटी
इज व्हाट यू आर सेइंग. ओके, वी ऑल्सो हैव अ फार्मर, मिस्टर महेंद्र सिंह. महेंद्र सिंह जी, आप बताइए, 1 साल हो गई है डीमोनेटाइजेशन के बाद, अब उसको थम्स अप दोगे, थम्स डाउन दोगे?
ऐसा हमारा खेती का काम है मुख्यतः आलू, गेहूं और धान का. ये 600 से 800 रुपये प्रति पैकेट का रेट था तब ये नोटबंदी हुई, उससे पहले ठीक 15 दिन बाद 50 से 100 रुपये पैकेट का रेट आ गया. और तब तक कच्ची फसल उसकी बोई जा चुकी थी आलू की. सही टाइम पर लागत के लिए पैसा नहीं मिला. उसके बाद जैसे कर्ज आप है, जैसे उसे केसीसी से वगैरह वगैरह से करके उसको लग गया. जब उसका रेट 50 रुपये से 100 रुपये पैकेट में मार्केट में बिका, जनवरी और दिसंबर में कच्ची फसल आके मार्केट में आती है. जब पहले से उसको लॉस में थी तो कच्ची फसल मार्केट में खुद के किसानों ने मार्केट में नहीं लाई गई. उसका रिजल्ट ये हुआ, मार्च और अप्रैल में जब आलू की खुदाई हुई तो वो कोल्ड स्टोरेज में पहुंच गया, जिसके लिए ये लगा मार्केट में ओवरफ्लो हो गया कोल्ड स्टोरेज. उसका नतीजा ये हुआ, आज तक आलू का रेट, मीडियम आलू 1 रुपया किलो, मोटा आलू 2 रुपया किलो, भाड़ा 131 रुपये, शुगर फ्री का एक पैकेट का 50 किलो का, सादा का 110 रुपये. उसको उसका रेट ही नहीं मिलना.
अच्छा, मैं आप दोनों से पूछना चाहती हूँ. हमें सबको पता है कि इंडिया में ब्लैक मनी की प्रॉब्लम है. मोदी जी कह रहे हैं कि ब्लैक मनी को निकालने के लिए ये करना पड़ा, आपको क्या लगता है? और सर यहाँ पे लोग कह रहे हैं कि देखो अमीर
कहाँ निकला ब्लैक मनी.
नहीं, मगर लोग सोचते हैं कि जो अमीर है उनको भी प्रॉब्लम हुई है. हम सबको प्रॉब्लम हुई है, मगर अमीर लोगों को भी तो प्रॉब्लम हुई थी. नहीं
पता, और जैसे हमने तो कहीं नहीं देखा कहाँ हुई प्रॉब्लम.
मैडम, मैं तो ये कहना चाहूंगा,
एक मिनट आप ये समझाइएगा हमें. देखो, अगर कोई बदलाव, बड़ी बदलाव आनी है तो किसी ना किसी इंग्लिश को, इंग्लिश में हम कहते हैं कि ट्रेड ऑफ होते हैं, कोई जीतेगा कोई हारेगा. जो लोग डीमोनेटाइजेशन को सपोर्ट करते हैं वो कहेंगे कि देश के लिए किसान इतना भी नहीं ले सकते, परेशानी तो सबको हुई है, होना तो पड़ेगा ब्लैक मनी निकालने के लिए.
किसान शिक्षित नहीं है तो सबसे पहले शिक्षा पर प्रसार करिए ना उसका. जो आदमी नोटबंदी का अब तक यही नहीं समझ पाया कि यह हो क्या रहा है, जीएसटी की अभी तक मालूम ही नहीं उसको क्या हो रहा है, सबसे पहले तो एजुकेशन पर आना पड़ेगा ना. जिसने 1 नंबर से 3 लाख रुपए फुटकर में बेच के कमा लिया, उसको तो ब्लैक मनी आ गया ना रिकॉर्ड के हिसाब से. उसके पास प्रूफ ही नहीं है कहाँ से आया. और जिसने टर्न ओवर घुमा के, रिटर्न फाइल करके 10 लाख बगैर कमाई के घुमा के व्हाइट मनी कर दी.
नहीं,
मैं सबसे
जिसने जिसके पास पैसा है, आप अगर पैसा आपका कमाई का है आप जमा कर सकते हैं ना, आपको किसने रोका है बैंक में जमा करने के लिए?
दिस इज बी द पीपल यू स्टार्टेड ऑफ बाय पॉइंटिंग दैट आउट. नाउ लेट देम स्पीक.
पैसा अगर जिसका वाइट है उसको जमा करने के लिए किसने रोका है?
ओके, होल्ड ऑन सर, आप दोनों प्लीज बताइएगा. सब लोग यहाँ पे पूछ रहे हैं कि अगर इतनी कठिनाई है तो यूपी ने मोदी जी के लिए,
और भी तो लोग बैठे हैं उनसे भी तो पूछ लीजिए.
आप बताइए,
देखिए मैटर ये है,
ये दो ही है क्या
मेरे विचार से?
और भी लोग हैं उसी
विचार से हैं.
दे आर फ्रॉम यूपी सर. दिस इज द स्टेट यू वॉन्ट. दिस इज द क्वेश्चन यू हैव आस्क्ड. वी आर
टॉकिंग ओनली ऑफ यूपी.
वन मिनट. दिस इज द क्वेश्चन यू हैव.
नाउ दे आर टॉकिंग ओनली ऑफ गुजरात.
व्हाई हैव द पीपल वोटेड फॉर प्राइम मिनिस्टर मोदी? आर यू अफ्रेड टू हियर द आंसर?
नॉट एट ऑल.
सो देन प्लीज लेट देम स्पीक. प्लीज लेट देम स्पीक.
क्वेश्चन आई विल आंसर.
सर प्लीज लेट देम स्पीक. बताइए
कहें साहब कुछ.
बहुत आराम
से इजाजत हो तो
कहिए कहिए.
अभी तक मेरे ख्याल से आर्थिक पॉलिसी का ये चुनाव हुआ ही नहीं था. मैं हिंदू हूँ, मैं दुखी हूँ इस पॉलिसी से, लेकिन जब भावना उस तरह से आ जाती है तो मैं भी जुड़ जाता हूँ. अभी तक जाति या धर्म के आधार पर चुनाव हुआ है, विकास के आधार पर हुआ ही नहीं, तो इस संबंध का जीएसटी से ताल्लुक ही नहीं है.
Let's go across to the other panelists. Pramod, some people win, some people lose. Your industry certainly has won.
Well, I like to put it slightly differently. The entire spectrum of digital economy has literally transformed dramatically. Whether we attribute it to demonetization or some other actions, but the fact is that demonetization gave it a push. It created an environment for promotion of digital payments and banking, digital banking, opening a vista of opportunity for driving the economy on a digital platform.
The numbers have fallen since.
No, numbers have not fallen. I want to give you those numbers.
UPI,
I think numbers have gone up significantly higher. It's a fallacy to think that digital payment is only mobile wallets. Since demonetization, when Aadhaar-enabled payment system was opened up, which not only allows cashless payment, it also allows banking transactions in the last mile for people who do not have access to the banking system. For example, the 300 or 400 million Jan Dhan accounts which have been opened, there was no way for these people to transact these accounts simply because the bank branches are so far away from where they live. But the Aadhaar-based payment system or Aadhaar-enabled debiting to the bank account or crediting bank account from the remote has allowed these people to transact their bank accounts. Now, if government wants to transfer money, whether they are benefit payments or other payments, into their bank accounts, which is a great move because it will take care of the pilferage and all of that. Now, these people will be able to draw that money in the last mile, and I'm saying because we are doing it. So, I'm not talking theory here. And transactions are very rapidly increasing. In the month of November, zero Aadhaar transaction, we're doing 400 crores ourselves. The total Aadhaar-based payment transactions monthly have reached 5,000 crores. UPI, which was launched post-demonetization, has grown by leaps and bounds. It has reached a figure, I have a figure, close to 44,000 crore a month, right? The IMPS, mobile-based payment solution, has reached 40,000 crores now. So these are some of the elements.
The numbers sound great because we are a country of a billion, right?
No.
How much of it is of the total
population? I think it's important to see why.
We have 1 billion people with phones, but how many of them are smartphones?
You don't need smartphones. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. If you have a bank account and you have an Aadhaar which is linked to your bank account, you can go to a merchant who has a small device which provides for scanning of your Aadhaar, and you can debit your account, draw cash from the merchant. Please, and you can deposit money. Once demonetization happened, our business used to be 95% cash coming into the merchant locations. Mm-hmm. Today, we have 75% of those transactions turned cashless. Now, this has all happened because of the enablement. You
so
can make those
payments. Definitely been benefits. We've gone digital. Ritha, quickly respond.
So, digital. Yeah. So you know, there are $500 billion worth of transactions which are happening in cash, which can turn digital. And the rate at which the transactions are turning digital, if $500 billion transactions turn digital over the course of next 2 to 3 years, it will bring about a huge change both
Is this the only way to do it? Did you need such a hard push? Did you need to push people off the cliff? Of course, they'll turn digital if I have no other choice.
But demonetization happened. It has happened.
Are you concurring or you are giving your opinion?
I am an online shopper because I get
neutrality.
Good deals. There are better ways to make
you
me do this.
You should bring out the neutral debate. Not give your comments. If
and
you
can
are
let somebody else
come
speak
as a
also
debater,
at a point of time. Ritika,
don't
response.
You come
quick,
as a debater.
Response.
We don't mind.
Sir, my job is not to hand over the stage to the BJP.
Yes.
It is my job to ask questions, ask difficult questions. You are mistaking this channel for some other channel. Please, this is NDTV. We will ask the right questions. I'm going to move on now.
I just want to make a very quick point. Morgan Stanley recently came out with a very elaborate research report on India, where they have said that Indian economy will grow from $2 trillion to $6 trillion in next 10 years on the strength of two things.
Correct.
One is digital payments, digital banking, and the second is GST. These are the two pillars which will drive the economic growth of this country over the next 10 years. That's all I want to say. Cash must go from the system.
Ritika, cash must go.
No, I don't think so. I don't think the vilification of cash is the answer. What we need is better tax compliance. Better tax compliance needs tax reforms, not demonetization. As far as the digital payment sector is concerned, clearly it's one of the big gainers. But I don't think the size of that sector justifies the damage to the rest of the economy. That's one. And the second thing is that Aadhaar-enabled payments are actually the third big hit that the economy is likely to take, because these payments are not as secure as the government and UIDAI are claiming them to be. There has already been scam. We've discovered fraudulent Aadhaar numbers. 49,000 enrollment agencies were blacklisted by the government.
That's an important question. That's an important point. How safe are we when we make these online transactions in India? I'm just going to say there
was
a study.
Not all online. Only Aadhaar, I'm saying.
Aadhaar online, when it comes to, there was a study that talked about competitiveness and trust in digital economies that ranked 42 countries. And according to the study, we were 41, but the good thing is we beat Pakistan. Whatever we do, we can't come second to Pakistan. How safe are we when we do this, when we make this push?
But you know, all digital online systems, banking and everything worldwide is subject to some attack somewhere here
more
or
in
there.
India than so, abroad?
No, it's there everywhere. I don't think anybody can say that any digital or any technology-driven program is doesn't have any risk involved. There are normal risks even on Aadhaar. And I said, we are doing 400 crores monthly Aadhaar transactions. Yeah. And we have not had even 0.1% of a problem. Now,
okay,
what you have said
sorry,
that there can be Aadhaar numbers.
To, people who actually do this on an everyday basis. We have Mr. B.R. Venkatraman here. He's joining us from Telangana. He's a ration shop owner from Telangana. His entire village went cashless, correct?
Pura use kar rahe. Hamara gaon mein pura ATM se and Aadhaar se kar rahe. 2016 se Aadhaar card and ATM card se le rahe. दुकान पे भी आधार कार्ड एंड चिल्लर ऐप स्मार्टफोन से चिल्लर ऐप से ले रहे
तो आप प्रमोद जी से एग्री करते हो कि कैश की जरूरत नहीं है वी कैन
बराबर है सही हाँ। बात है खेती वाले भी देखेंगे तो ट्रैक्टर वाला खेती का काम करने वाले भी फोन से कर रहे
तो फिर सर आपको क्यों लगता है लोग कंप्लेन क्यों कर रहे हैं क्योंकि आपके गांव में तो काम कर रही है ऐसे
कर रहे
तो फिर लोग कंप्लेन क्यों कर रहे हैं आपके गांव में फर्क क्या है
कंप्लेंट बिल्कुल नहीं मैं बोलता हूं अप्रैल मार्च एंड जून तक पैसा बिल्कुल नहीं मिल रहा बैंक में 10,000 दिया बैंक से ये स्मार्टफोन से एंड इप आधार कार्ड हमारा रेशन शॉप में मिनी एटीएम दे दिया हमारा ट्रांसैक्शन किया मैं किधर किसको देगा तो भी वो आधार कार्ड लाए तो
ये बहुत इंपॉर्टेंट बात बता रहे हैं बैंकों की ब्रांच गाँव में तो नहीं है सब जगह And people receive money into their bank account, it may be anywhere. You can have a bank account in Andhra and you can transact it in Himachal. Now, that is something which was not possible
ever. You know, this is exactly, I was in Singapore last week. I was invited by one of the largest banks in the world where the CEO had his customers, etc. And he says, you know, we think, for one thing, that India is going to skip the branch banking stage completely. Mm. It's going to move straight away, as we did to the cell phone, as we will just skip over it. But he also said something that he says that the one of the most securest systems they have found around the world is Aadhaar. And that, you know, people got me worried about Aadhaar, like
okay,
Ritika.
Let's not debate
and
Aadhaar
I was, right now. I no, but this man is the one of the largest bankers in the world. And they are endorsing, they're going to make a very major push in India to do mobile banking and close the branches.
So this whole step has been hugely transformative, says sir here also. And what Pramod is saying, this has been hugely transformative.
Andhra Bank se help bhi de diya. Hum log pura gaon ka achcha karo, village ka achcha karo, ghar ka achcha karo bolke. Hamara gaon mein pura sab log bhi ek ghar bhi nahi chhod liya. Pura card se use karta hai.
Okay. We also have Sunil Dubey here. He's a general goods shop owner here in Delhi. आप भी cashless गए? आपकी experience कैसी थी?
Cashless ये होता है कि जैसे कि हमारे पास cash पेटीएम के थ्रू आता है, तो पेटीएम से हम जैसे बैंक में ट्रांसफर करते हैं 100 रुपए, तो उसमें 98 रुपए जाता है, 2 रुपए कट जाता है। और हमारे पास कैश का ज़्यादा काम होता है, तो जैसे कि हमें सेल्समैन को देना होता है पेटीएम से, अगर उनको देते हैं तो वो पेटीएम से नहीं लेते हैं, चेक भी दो तो चेक भी नहीं लेते हैं, तो उनको कैश देना पड़ता है, तो हमारा तो लॉस होता है।
ओके, मगर एक साल हो गई है, फिर भी आप यही कर रहे हो ना? क्योंकि
हाँ जी, अभी भी तो हमारे पास पेटीएम से पेमेंट आती है, तो बैंक में ट्रांसफर करते हैं जब भी।
कन्वीनियंस तो है ना थोड़ी?
जी जी,
बेहतर तो है
जी। मैम
नहीं
नहीं नहीं, पहले से बेहतर है अब थोड़ा बहुत,
मगर आपको लॉस हो रही है थोड़ी
जी।
एमी इज साउथ एशिया कॉरेस्पॉन्डेंट फॉर द फाइनेंशियल टाइम्स। एमी, दिस इज सच अ ह्यूज स्टोरी फॉर एनी जर्नलिस्ट प्रोफेशनली, इट्स समथिंग यू विल बी years down the line sitting in a bar telling your grandkids, you know, I covered this story. I can't ask you to tell me how history will treat this, but tell us, what have you found on the ground?
You've described this as a bold step. I think I'd like to really emphasize what a completely radical and unprecedented step this was. In the aftermath of demonetization, I consulted with our like very highly respected chief economics commentator, Martin Wolf, to ask him, where in the world has something like this been done before? And what were the consequences? What happened? I wanted to know, you know, what's the history, you know, and past experience? Tell us about this. And guess what? It turns out that this has been done almost nowhere in the world. There is no precedent for this. There have been a few occasions in absolute crisis situations, such as the collapse of Nazi Germany after World War II, where the old Reichmarks from like the Nazi regime were withdrawn overnight and replaced with a new currency. And the only other times where something like this has happened in a very kind of big bang, immediate manner has been in countries that have been suffering from extreme hyperinflation, which means like, you know, people are taking wheelbarrows of cash to buy a sandwich. There is no experience in the world that really tells you what is the precedent for doing this to an economy that is more or less kind of humming along in a normal manner. So this is not a normal policy. It was a radical and extreme policy. Number two, it's very clear that the costs of this were very high in terms of the immediate impact. The economy has slowed down to 5.7%. We can't say that that's all directly related to this, but there is no doubt that this was a very strong economic blow. I went to industrial areas on the outskirts of Delhi that, you know, like a month after demonetization, that were like completely shut down, and it was dead and everyone was gone. There was just no one around. In January or February, we went to UP. I met many, many young men in villages who had returned from Mumbai, where they had been working as construction workers, and they were back in their village. The work had dried up. So there's simply no doubt that the cost in terms of the shock effect to the economy were very high. I think that the benefits that are being claimed are still rather speculative. It's only 1 year in. You are trying to say that this move has been to kind of dramatically change deeply entrenched behaviors, a shock therapy to make Indians comply with taxes, to follow the laws. And now you are saying, okay, look, you know, 1 year on, tax compliance has notched up by, you know, this percentage. Can we really see from the data that this was some kind of inflection point and had like a lasting transformative impact? I personally think PhD students and researchers will study this for many years to come. It will be debated in academic circles for a long time and in many places.
It certainly will, especially with elections around the corner. Mr. Bala, 1 second. Well, another sector that was heavily impacted or highly impacted in the immediacy was banks and bank employees. We have one here. Nakul Arora is a bank employee. So first and foremost, we should thank all bank employees who work round the clock. Nakul, right now we're thanking them. But at that point of time, a lot of you were getting abused by the public.
Particularly, yes. It was actually a chaos position for the bankers as well. It was like a sudden hit to the people, a sudden death for the people. So they were not able to extremely, you know, capable with that thing.
No, but the RBI said that there was money. Money was sent to all the banks.
No, ma'am. The money was up to the mark in the metro cities. But actually, if we see in the tier 2 or tier 3 cities, it was a slow process.
So Mr. Das points out that one of the big advantages here was the fact that all this money is now coming to the banks and banks can be lending. Is that what you've noted in your experience?
Ma'am, this could be a long-term mission, but probably it seems nothing at present. There was a policy with the vision was there, but the mission could have been a long-term thing. So probably it could take a bit longer. And if you take the thing like black money, it's still in the market, it's still yet to be recovered. So it's not up to the mark. It has to be properly implemented.
Mr. Bhalla, you want to respond and then Mawa.
Look, one of the important points that everybody has brought up and attributed to demonetization is the growth slowdown. As all of us know, there was a significant growth slowdown before demonetization entered the scene. So therefore, first conclusion that the growth slowdown, which we all concerned with, including my good friend Gurcharan Das, we are attributing to demonetization, and that's quite false. There are other reasons why the economy has slowed down. And if you will, PhD students have already started assessing it. Unfortunately, you know, we still don't know the answer whether the French Revolution was successful. So I'm sure there'll be lots of PhDs, but none of us can afford, including good journalists like you, we have to assess as we go along. So what is the situation as we assess it today? Employment has been mentioned by everybody, and somebody said about 1.5 million jobs have been lost. This is the CMIE data. And as it is, that's the only data we have. Now, funny thing about the CMIE data, and that's why I keep coming back to, we need to separate ideology from facts. The CMIE data, the 1.5 million jobs that were lost, was from September to December last year to January to April. If you now look from January to August last year, pre-demonetization, and January to August this year, post-demonetization, CMI data, jobs created were in the aggregate 6 million and 12 million if you look in the age group 25 to 64. This is second, okay, let me just re-emphasize that. CMI data, the very data all the opponents to demonetization, the factual evidence that they provide is the jobs lost because of CMI data. That same CMI data, like with like, apples with apples, shows a huge creation of jobs in the 25 to 64 year age group. The reason there's less jobs in the 15 to 24, nevertheless, total is 6 million. Second, this is a fascinating economy where we have agricultural wages rising at the highest rate in the last decade. So I now tie up two things. I take the agricultural wages, which comes from a very different source, highest rate of growth, January to August this year, and I take employment, January to August, completely different source from the agricultural labor, and both are telling you the same story. How long can we beat around? This has been costly. The poor have lost out. This has happened. That has happened. Why do we as Indians want to debate the existence of gravity? It is 32 feet per second squared. Let's look at the numbers.
Here, Mr. Bhalla, respond. Can you crack it?
I thought the BJP had all the solutions. I don't know how we're supposed to be solving their puzzles. They've got all the solutions, haven't they? A couple of things I want to point out. As far as job creation goes, I think it's a joke to even begin to suggest that the past year has done any job creation. I think it's a joke to even begin to suggest it. And I'm not just talking CMIE data. I have Bureau of Labor data in front of me, which is 1.52 lakh casual workers across 8 sectors, including manufacturing, were lost just in the 3 months between October and December. You have a FICCI survey which came out, which was released in July 2017. And the FICCI surveys in the manufacturing sector said 73% said that they were unlikely to hire in the next 3 to 6 months. So coming back to Ritika's point on sentiment. The third thing is 90% of employment is in informal sector. Now, when you've got such a cash dhakka as it was, a cash bank to the informal sector, they are the ones who are buying stuff. When, for example, if I'm a worker earning wages, I'm going to spend a sachet, 1 rupee on a sachet of shampoo to shampoo my hair on Sunday, and I can't spend it, then who gets affected? Is Unilever's which gets affected, or Procter & Gamble which makes a shampoo that gets affected? So it's not a, and the third thing is, I think it's very unfair when we look at digital payments. Why looking at digital payments as the panacea to all evil? I mean, cash is legal tender. Germany has one of the highest highest rates of cash transactions in the world, and it's also one of the least corrupt countries in the world. So I lived in the UK, I earned a salary, I decided to pay for cash for most things. There is no link between corruption and cash. That's a complete taxation issue and a loophole that the government needs to cross. These two are not. And to ask a digital payment provider, do you think business has been good, is like forcing the entire country to eat doklas and then asking a basin manufacturer, has business been good? So I don't think it makes any sense whatsoever, frankly.
Well, you know, this is not quite true, but you know, you said it more in a political way than, so when we say digital payments, it's not just digital payments. I said we are talking of digital banking. We are talking about reaching banking to the last mile, to the 500 million people who have been disenfranchised. You know, we can talk about all of these things, but the rural economy cannot grow. The Indian economy cannot grow at 7%, 7.5% by just 200 million people living in the cities, right? So you have to reach the economic benefit to the last mile.
Is,
they can
is that
be connected
being done?
To the
Amy,
system.
Is that what you saw on the ground? Quickly.
I just wanted to make one point about cash. It should just be pointed out that in the UK, although there's a very advanced digital payments ecosystem, half of all transactions are still done in cash in the UK.
Okay, and so you're citing what Mawa has said. And cash doesn't...
But we have 95%. I mean, we have 95% cash.
And the global average is 85%. So you're not actually that out of line.
But growing economies don't have that element of cash.
So going digital doesn't necessarily mean that you're becoming less... We're completely out of time. Let's get closing arguments from everybody. Mr. Das, short-term pain, but long-term gain is what you think.
I think that there will be long-term gain. I just happen to believe that so much pain was not necessary. But... for that long-term gain, the government now has to follow up by plugging the sources of black money and corruption. And this was only one step.
All right. Closing argument, Mawa. Demonetization was to plug corruption and black money.
That's what we thought, but we've decided the black money argument has gone out the window because we said 6% of all black money was only in cash. Only 6% of black money was in cash. So I don't think that was the weapon to fight black money with. The second thing, as far as corruption is concerned, there is no link between corruption and the amount of cash held in the economy. The third thing is November 8th is going to be, I think, a black day for all of us. And short-term pain, long-term gain, I think this was poor policy. Poorly executed, and it has been done to create a big bank to mask much more nefarious objectives of the government. And I think as soon as that becomes clear to the people, as it is, that I think that the electoral sort of changes will come about.
Mr. Gopal Krishna?
In statistics, you can prove either way. If the important thing is how you correlate. That's what Mr. Sujit Bhalla said, that slowdown in economy is a problem, but you cannot link it. That correlation has not been established. Demonetization has created an ecosystem where corruption-free and transparent business working can be done in India. Mr. Modi was never voted to manage economy. He was to change the way the country functions. There was corruption. There was crony capitalism.
Chavan, the Prime Minister promised radical change. He promised to take on corruption, and he's delivered.
On three counts, premise, preparedness, and impact, everything they've gone wrong. The premise that all cash is black and all black is cash was absolutely rubbish. The preparedness, whether you need antibiotics or a surgery, they opted for surgery, but they amputated the wrong arm. And the impact. The operation is successful and the patient is dead. That's what they've done to our economy.
Good. Pramod, your industry has done well, but India as a whole, your closing argument.
Yeah, I think there is the slowdown may see a very moderate recovery over the next two or three quarters. But definitely with better compliances, GST, digitization. So I am firmly of the opinion that the economy will look up and look up soon.
So you think people like our farmer here and Chief Khan will also benefit?
They will benefit, for sure.
They will not be saying the same.
They will benefit. The digitization reach will help them immensely.
Closing argument.
जब नोट बंदी और जीएसटी का लाभ इंडस्ट्री के लिए कहा जा रहा है, तो जितना ब्लैक मनी कलेक्ट हुई और जितना इसे प्रॉफिट बताया जा रहा है या एक्चुअल में है, तो गवर्नमेंट अपने सेक्टर में इसको क्यों नहीं डेवलप कर रही है? इंडस्ट्री को गवर्नमेंट ने इस पीरियड में कितनी इंडस्ट्री डेवलप करी, तो उसको एज ए प्रैक्टिकली उसको शो करके इससे इतना डेवलपमेंट होगा, तो प्राइवेट सेक्टर में क्यों जा रही है इसमें इतना उसका माहौल है? तो
मिस्टर भल्ला,
एन ओल्ड सेइंग, डोंट कंफ्यूज मी विद फैक्ट्स, माय माइंड इज मेड अप, एंड आई एम अफ्रेड वी हैव सीन अ लॉट ऑफ दैट हियर. आई विल स्टिक विद, एंड इट वाज क्वाइट इंटरेस्टिंग एंड शॉकिंग दैट द कांग्रेस रिप्रेजेंटेटिव सेड black money is actually productive, so why are we attacking black money? And the BJP person said, black money is bad.
Now so you're talking like a politician,
tells us,
I never said
that. Anyway, this is the year of the nudge. Taylor's got a Nobel Prize. I think history will look at, and I think many of us are looking at demonetization as a huge signal. It's signaling that India is changing and changing radically.
Ritika, closing argument, this was a nudge and it's a nudge in the right direction.
Well, it was a shove more than a nudge. I think what I'm hearing is that all the money has come back. And that it was black money, and now that it's come back, it's all fine. That's a bit alarming to hear. Because, I mean, if it was black money that has been deposited, black cash that has been deposited back, surely these people should be held to account. And I think the changing narrative from the government is certainly alarming and a sign that they didn't know what was going on. The data that they keep putting out, changing the base and changing the particular indicator, that's also a little bit alarming and suspicious. So from the left to the right, this was one rare economic moment where from Prabhat Patnaik on the left to Raghuram Rajan on the right, you had economists actually agreeing with each other. Unfortunately, I seem to have lost my only chance to agree with Surjit Bhalla on a matter of economic policy, where, you know, he still continues to support it. So I think economic policy bad. Propaganda and the narrative, they were able to control very well, both, and I think people believed him, and that's why they were kind of willing to go along with it. And I'm a little bit worried if, you know, the propaganda on the impact is also being sold to people, then that's a bit scary. But more than that, I think the fact that this decision was taken so undemocratically without even consulting people within the government, that's alarming. Finally, even the undermining of institutions like RBI is a bit scary.
Okay, that was a lot for a closing argument, Ritika, but we're completely out of time. I know this is not the last we've heard of this. There are elections coming up, so we'll continue to debate this. Join us again next week if you agree, like we do on We the People, that it's important to speak up, but it's also important to listen. Thank you so much.